Good morning and welcome to our site on this Christmas morning of 2023. I've entitled our sermon for today, Back to Bethlehem. I want to share with you a message based on a Bethlehem family that lived just over 1,000 years before Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem. The story is told in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, but instead of reading it, I've put it into rhyme, and I'd like to read it to you. I've called this the triumph of true love. That's what Christmas is. In the days when the judges ruled Israel, there was a famine throughout the land. The people who were chosen to be a light to the nations were suffering under God's hand. Instead of being faithful to the Lord their God, they had turned away from his ways. Now they were struggling because of their sin. Hardship filled all of their days. But out of this season of deprivation comes the beautiful story of Ruth, a story as thrilling as any you will find, a tale of hope and truth. Our story begins with Elimelech from Bethlehem, an Ephrathite. He and his wife Naomi had never known things so tight. Then they heard there was food down in Moab, where dwelt the descendants of Lot. The thought was especially appealing when they looked at their empty pot. Their sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were hungry, the cupboard was bare, so they packed their belongings for Moab and began the long journey there. For a while, life seemed better in Moab, but trials then entered their lives. Naomi's husband Elimelech died, and the sons married Moabite wives. A decade went by, then trouble again. Now Mahlon and Chilion died. Naomi the widow was left in grief, with the Moabite wives at her side. Then she heard there was food back in Judah, that the Lord had come to their aid. She shared the news with her daughters-in-law, and plans to return were made. But when they set out, Naomi said to the women, "It's better you both return home. There is no hope for a husband and children if to Bethlehem with me you come." They kissed each other and wept aloud, and Orpah said farewell. But Ruth just clung to her mother-in-law, and then had this to tell, "Entreat me not to leave you, for by your side I will stay. Your people and your God will be mine, so best we be on our way." The journey was long and arduous, but finally to Bethlehem they came. Though Naomi was feeling so downcast, she wanted to change her name. "Best call me bitter," she said to her friends, "for the Lord has afflicted me. I went away full, moved out of his will, and returned empty, as you can see." But God was still in full control, a providential web he had spun. When Naomi and Ruth entered Bethlehem, the harvest had only begun. Ruth went to glean the leftovers in the fields of a wealthy man. Boaz was a man of high standing, who belonged to Elimelech's clan. His reapers were told to look after Ruth, make sure she had plenty of grain. Naomi said, "He's related to us. You must go back there again. He is our kinsman redeemer. He has the right to Elimelech's land. We could become his possession under God's gracious hand." Ruth lay at the feet of Boaz. Romance was soon in the air. The man fell in love with the Moabitess and took her into his care. He gathered the elders of the town together, and the redemption arrangement was done. He then married Ruth, the Moabitess, who his longing heart had won. The Lord enabled Ruth to conceive. She gave birth to a baby boy, placed the bundle in Naomi's arms, and her heart was filled with joy. The baby Obed became the father of Jesse, the father of David the king. From David's line the Christ was born, who did salvation bring. 1,000 years later in Bethlehem, our Saviour had his birth. All the angels sang for joy as heaven came to earth. Both Jew and Gentile were redeemed when on the cross he died. He paid our debt and took our place when he was crucified. The book of Ruth has a powerful message. Today it is relevant still. warning us all that it does not pay to move out of the Father's will. But even if our stubborn hearts don't listen, and we choose thus to depart, there is no place we can get away from our Father's loving heart. So heed the message of this book, and to the Father turn, and let the fire of his wonderful love way down in your heart burn. As I mentioned, I've entitled my message this morning, Back to Bethlehem, or Let's Get Back to Bethlehem, that is, to the values of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, the values of the baby of Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. You see, as Naomi and Elimelech learned, it's a long, hard road back to Bethlehem, back to the values of the house of bread. When you've turned your back on the Christ child who was born there and grew up to proclaim, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. The story of Naomi and Elimelech is an advanced picture of men and women and nations in relation to Bethlehem, the values of Bethlehem, the Christ of Bethlehem. As the aged Simeon said in the temple when he took the baby Jesus in his arms, this child is destined to cause the rise and fall of many, and he will be a sign spoken against. Luke chapter 2, verse 34. What a true word was spoken. You pay a very high price when you turn your back on the child of Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nations rise and fall depending on their relationship with this child, the Christ of Bethlehem, the house of bread. The baby in the manger there is the bread of life. He is the Messiah. He and he alone is the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. There is no other friend. Turn your back on Bethlehem, and like Naomi and Elimelech and their sons, you will pay dearly. Individuals do. Nations do. History bears that out. The Christ child is not only the fulfillment of prophecy and history, he is the fulfillment of destiny, both national and individual. He came to his own home, to the world he made, and his own people, the Jews, rejected him. John 1 and verse 11. Instead of recognition, there was repudiation and crucifixion. His blood be on us and on our children, they cried. What a price the Jews have paid for rejecting the Christ of Bethlehem. Scattered to the four winds for 2,000 years, despised and rejected, killed by the millions in Hitler's gas chambers in the Holocaust. It's going to be a long, hard road back to Bethlehem, back to the Christ of Bethlehem for the children of Israel, who do not recognize Jesus, Yeshua, as their Messiah. But one day soon they will look on him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, will find its final fulfillment, and in great numbers, believing Jews in the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ child of Bethlehem, whom they rejected, they will be saved. How did Britain become Great Britain years ago, a mistress of the most far-flung empire in the world? Queen Victoria held up a Bible and said, "This book is the secret of England's greatness." It was Britain's godliness, not her military power, that frustrated Napoleon. On August the 15th of 1804, his great army was poised for their descent upon England. All they needed was a favorable wind to take them across the Channel and place the Imperial Eagle on the Tower of London. Napoleon's wind never came. Britain survived. That very year, the British and Foreign Bible Society was founded in London, and it has sent the Word of God to the world. A year later, Napoleon vowed to put an end to the destinies of England. Quote, just before the Battle of Trafalgar, British Admiral Nelson was found praying. Nelson died a British prisoner, and Napoleon died a British prisoner. For a while the empire flourished, but look at Britain today. A nation in confusion, in division, far away from the Christ child of Bethlehem and the values that he stands for. Islam advances and Christianity wanes. It will be a long, hard road back to Bethlehem and all the values of the Christ of Christmas, if England ever takes it again. Her influence has been dwindling. Her empire has shrunk. There now, the baby Bethlehem is blamed for putting religion into a festive season. And well may the United States reflect on its history. 4 centuries ago, so many of the Pilgrim Fathers emigrated to North America with prayer, an open Bible, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Christ of Bethlehem, became the greatest nation in the world. Contrast that with the Spanish priests who took the dogmas of the Roman Catholic Church to South America. It never became great. But God have mercy on the United States today, a divided nation. The society at large and the secular liberal lawmakers have rejected the Bible and prayer and the God of the Bible and the Christ of Bethlehem. The Christianity of the Pilgrim Fathers is no longer politically correct. It's an embarrassment to many now. It'll be a long, hard road back to Bethlehem if the United States ever decides to take it. I love that nation. I have been there 26 times over the years. What about France? Some of you may remember when France expunged the word God from all her government documents. Then came the German Nazi attack in 1940. The Roman Catholic publication Universe of June 21 said, I quote, "The great church of the Madeleine was packed all day, packed to the doors, and continually the cry went up, Our Lady of Lourdes, save France, Saint Genevieve, save France, Joan of Arc, save France." The prayers were to the wrong persons. There's only one Saviour. There's only one Redeemer of mankind at God's right hand. There's only one who can really deliver peoples and nations. And he was left out. His name is Jesus, the Christ of Christmas, the Christ of Bethlehem. Salvation is in no other name but the name of Jesus. The Apostle Peter could have told them that if they had been willing to listen. France fell. Today, like so many European nations, she's a long way away from Bethlehem, the Saviour that was born there, the values of true Christianity. And it'll be a very long, hard road back if she ever takes it. It will take a brand new Reformation. Oh God, give us more John Calvins. We need a whole tribe of them, not only in France, but in Europe, in the United Kingdom, in the Americas, all over the world. And God have mercy on South Africa and the land of my birth and boyhood, Zimbabwe. It's going to be a long, hard road back to Bethlehem in the sense of the Christ of Bethlehem, the values of the babe of Bethlehem who grew up to be the Saviour of the world. It's not politically correct to take that road and all that Bethlehem stands for. You see, Bethlehem stands for the incarnation, God becoming man in Jesus, God taking upon himself our humanity, God going in Jesus to the cross to die in our place and pay our debt, pay the price of our eternal salvation. Bethlehem stands for dignity, honor, the sanctity of life, pregnancy, birth, babyhood, childhood, youth, adulthood. The Christ of God stands for all of life. Thank God Jesus was not aborted, murdered in the womb because his mother wasn't yet legally married and his father wanted to get it done because of the embarrassment. Where would we be without the Christ child of Bethlehem who has brought the world salvation through his death and resurrection? Bethlehem stands for the sanctity of life. Bethlehem stands secondly for unashamed praise of God. In the words of Mary's Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. The God who brings down rulers from his thrones, but lifts up the humble. The God who fills the hungry with good things, but sends the rich empty away. Who performs mighty deeds with his arm, who scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Holy is his name." That was the exclamation of Mary, Mary the Virgin, Mary who was conceived through the Holy Spirit and gave birth to the Christ child in the stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, placed that baby in a manger for his crib. Holy is his name. For all that is holy, that's what Bethlehem stands for. Bethlehem stands against all that is unholy. Bethlehem stands for faithfulness between a husband and a wife. Bethlehem stands for the sanctity of marriage. Bethlehem stands for the marriage of a natural man and a natural woman who are able to procreate to the glory of God and raise godly offspring. Bethlehem stands for purity of heart and mind and motive. And then thirdly, Bethlehem stands for salvation through the redeeming grace of Jesus, God's one and only Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Bethlehem is where the sky fills with the angels of heaven saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Friends, there'll never be peace on earth until people and nations learn to give glory to God in the highest. Fourthly, Bethlehem is where wise people seek God and worship him. The babe in the feeding trough is the one who alone is worthy of worship and adoration, blessing and honor. People come to bring their gifts. There were gifts fit for a king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts that would honor a prophet, a priest, and a king. And then fifthly, Bethlehem is the place from which wise people go out from their encounter with Jesus and spread the good news everywhere. It's where people return to their world again, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Bethlehem is where Jesus, the one who is born king, is acknowledged as the Lord of all life. My friend, if you've strayed away from that place, that dear place where the Christ child was born and the values of the Christ of Christmas, I implore you, let's get back to Bethlehem. Let's get back to Jesus, because the further you stray away from him in willful, self-serving, self-centeredness, the harder it will be to get back. Ask me, I know. I've watched it for over 50 years. I see it all the time. "Don't call me Naomi," she told them when she got back to Bethlehem after all the hardship she'd endured. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty, Shaddai, has made my life really bitter. I went away from the fullness of Bethlehem, Beit Lechem, the house of bread, and I return empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me for turning my back on the house of living bread. Shaddai has brought misfortune upon me." Ah, yes, but look what happens when you return to Bethlehem, when you return to God, when you return to the Christ of God and his people. The text tells us in Ruth chapter 1, verse 22, the barley harvest was just beginning. Oh, friend, God's timing is always perfect. So in the sixth place, Bethlehem is the place of God's favor and provision. There Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, takes Ruth the Moabitess as his bride. What a picture of the Gentile church. We who are not a people, according to the Apostle Peter, we who are non-Jews, become the very people of God, the bride of Christ, along with his believing remnant of Israel. Obed is born to Boaz and Ruth, and given as a son to Naomi. And he grows up to father Jesse, and Jesse becomes the father of David, Israel's favorite king, and from the house of David, Jesus is born in Bethlehem 1,000 years later as the Savior of the world. The Christ of Bethlehem is destined for the cross of Jerusalem, but from his death on the cross comes ultimately the new Jerusalem, the company of all the redeemed on earth that will be the glorious bride of the babe of Bethlehem, the Christ of God in heaven. Oh, friend, who's the prodigal, me and my sin, departing from Beit Lechem, the house of bread, Bethlehem, and all its values, all its biblical Christian values, or the Christ who goes into the far country to die for my sins and bring me back? No wonder the late Tim Keller referred to our God as the prodigal God. He's just so amazing how he goes into the far country to bring us back again to the house of bread, to the one who is able to say, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never be thirsty again. Friend, Jesus, the Lamb of God, that the shepherds of Bethlehem and the angels of heaven worshipped and adored, is the Savior of the world. It was a long, hard road for the wise men to get to Bethlehem. It was a long, hard road for Naomi. It was a much longer road for Jesus, who went from Bethlehem to the cross of Calvary, to die for your sins and mine, that we might have everlasting life. Not even God a greater gift could give, nor heaven itself a deeper boon impart. When Jesus came and died that I might live, God gave without reserve his very heart. From Bethlehem to Calvary with blood divine, he dies a death to bear a guilt all mine. The cross is planted where my sin in vileness lies, but its towering summit reaches beyond the skies. W.T. McGregor of Edinburgh wrote this poem. It's a long, hard road back to Bethlehem, and many have lost their way. War trumpets outsound the angel's song. The wise people have gone astray. But the face of the sky shows the star of the morn, still pointing to where our Lord was born. It's a long, hard road back to Bethlehem, yet there's hope when hearts are torn, and eyes look up to the Lamb of God, who for man's redemption was born. And the signs of the times seem growing clear, that the day of our world's rebirth draws near. Don't follow the Christ of Bethlehem at a distance this Christmas. The further you go away from the babe in the manger, who is both Redeemer and King, Lord and God, the harder you will find it to get back. You see it in individuals. You see it in nations. You would have to be blind not to see it. As the prophet Micah reminds us, writing 2,500 years ago, the ruler from Bethlehem will one day rule over the entire world. Only a fool would turn his back on Bethlehem and all that Bethlehem stands for. The Apostle Paul put it this way to the first church in Europe, which grew up in Philippi 19.5 centuries ago. Though being truly God, Jesus didn't count his equality with God something to be grasped at and clung to, but he as it were emptied himself and became man, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was obedient to death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, given him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, the Christ of Christmas, the Christ of Bethlehem, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord. The message of Christmas, the message of Bethlehem, Beit Lechem, the house of bread, is simply this: Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the bread of life. Turn your back on him, and you will starve to death spiritually and eternally. Return to him with all your heart, like Naomi and Ruth, and you will never go hungry again. His love that pursues you now will pursue you for eternity. Let's get back to Bethlehem, dear friends. Let's get back to the Christ of Christmas and all the values that he stands for and his redeeming love so eloquently shared with us in the gospel. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you on this Christmas morning for the gift of your beloved Son, that we can remember that in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, a baby was born who is Christ the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you so loved the world, a world that had turned its back on you, that you gave your one and only Son, so that whoever believes on him might not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray that this very day, that over this Christmas season there may be multitudes around this sin-sick, war-torn, divided, upset, broken world that will turn back to God, back to the Christ of Bethlehem, back to the Lord Jesus, who alone can forgive our sins and restore our broken relationship with you. Lord, we thank you that you are a mighty Savior, and we pray that today will be a day of salvation for millions of people around the world who, hearing the good news about Jesus, who was born, lived, died, and resurrected, ascended on high, and is soon to return, that Jesus is Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. And we pray, Father, that many turning back to you will find today in Jesus the Savior that is perfectly suited to their need. And so we thank you, Lord, for the good news that we can share in today. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that all over the world, this good news, the Christian gospel, will be sounded clearly and with deep conviction, and that indeed, as we have prayed, many may come to know him whom to know is life eternal, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.